You're listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast, where private practice and motherhood collide. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajiz, and here's the deal. I'm not here to give you fluff or hustle culture advice. I'm here to give you strategy to build a private practice on your terms, while naming the hard stuff about motherhood and the broken systems we're stuck navigating. If you're ready for honest, practical, and unapologetic conversations, you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Let's take a moment to talk about today's episode sponsor, Jane, a practice management software and EHR I use to help keep things running smoothly behind the scenes. When I first started looking for a practice management tool, I wanted something that felt like a partner in my practice, not just more tech to figure out, which is why I switched to Jane. One of the things I love most about Jane, their support team. I've used other EHR systems before, and Jane's customer service is truly like none other. You get unlimited help from real humans, even on Saturdays, by phone, email, or chat, all at no extra cost. It's easy to learn about Jane in your own time, too. Jane's guides are packed with helpful tips and updates, and it's always growing. And maybe best of all, Jane has a wonderful community of practitioners, so even if you're running a solo practice, you don't have to feel like you're doing it alone. If you're curious about what Jane can do for your practice, use the link in the show notes to book a free demo. And if you're ready to get started, be sure to use my code ASHLEY1MO for a 1 month grace period on your new account. Welcome back to another episode of the Therapist Mom Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about business cards. And I know this doesn't sound like it's going to be like a super flashy episode, but I promise that there is going to be a lot in here that I think is going to really help you when it comes to marketing your private practice. One of the things that I get a question around a lot from people who are starting off their practice is, do I need a business card? And I think I see a lot of people sometimes get stuck in this place. When it comes to getting started, of like, well, I have to get the business card before I can do anything else. But I think that there can be a place for business cards. And I also think that you don't necessarily have to have one. But especially if you are trying to network in your area and trying to build connections, not just virtually, like if you are working in, let's say, you know, you're licensed in a whole state and you're trying to build relationships with people in a city not near you, no, you don't necessarily need that business card. But if you are trying to build connections and relationships with providers and other places in the area, I definitely think that you do need one. But we all, I think so many of us as therapists, we feel awkward or we feel disappointed, you know, after handing out our card and we're not getting calls, we've spent money on this thing. And there's a reason for that. A business card in and of itself is not a marketing strategy. It's not a plan. It's not marketing itself. A business card is a relationship reminder. So we're going to be talking about like, how can you design a business card that is useful? What should you put on it? And how can you also create like a referral friendly asset that may help kind of push people to want to refer more to you? But really then how do we go about using this card? Because again, it's not just a matter of like leaving your card somewhere. I'll tell a personal story here. So when I started in private practice, completely started was back in 2015. And I remember getting business cards and I remember handing them out and not a lot happened with it. And okay, like I looked back later on, I was like, well, I was just starting out and I eventually didn't need them because I joined a group practice. And then fast forward to 2019 when I went completely on my own. And I remember getting my business cards and I remember feeling so excited about my practice. But I didn't understand that relationship piece of the business card. And I would get so nervous talking about myself or even just about like offering my card. And I remember going to doctor's offices that I would have an appointment in and I would just leave random stacks of them like on end tables thinking like, well, somebody might need this, right? And somebody would find it and like, they're gonna just see this card. And then like, oh, here's a card for a therapist. Let me call them. I never got a referral that way because it's not how it works. So I'm going to teach you how to not do it that way. We're going to talk about what is the best way to use this this card to help get those referrals and the strategies that I have used to actually turn them now into a really helpful referral resource and tool and to actually get referrals from them. I think the important thing to start out with is to think about like what is the actual job of a business card. And like I said, the card in of itself is not a marketing strategy. It is a tool to help build a relationship. It's not a resume. You're not like putting all of your information on there, proving your credentials. It's not a mini Psychology Today profile. It's not like a magic, marketing thing that you handed out and you get a call. It requires relationships, it requires work, and it requires effort on your part. What a business card should do is to help someone remember who you are and also make it easy to explain you to someone else, whether that is a doctor that is explaining or, mentioning who you are, a friend, a colleague. And it should be a tool that then helps that person to take the next step, whether it is a conversation with them, whether it is a follow-up, whether it is a referral. So the business card is succinct. It is the piece to open the door for the conversation and for the next steps of somebody coming to you. If somebody looks at your business card and they can't explain in one sentence after looking at it who you are, what you do, it's not doing its job. So we want to think about what are the important things to have on that card so that somebody can look at that card and say, oh, this is Ashley Comegys. She specializes in working with women with anxiety in the perinatal period, right? That's exactly what it does. That one sentence tells exactly what I do, and it's on the card. So when you're thinking about designing your card, I mean, there's so many different places that you can do this. I have used Vistaprint. That's kind of my go-to. But when you're thinking about actually what to put on it, there are some things you definitely want to have on it, and there are some things that you don't have to have but could be helpful depending on your approach. Now, obviously, you want to have your name and your credentials, right? Whether you're an LCSW, a PMHC, an LPC, LMFT, PhD, right? Whatever those credentials are, you want to have that to show that you are a legitimate therapist. Your name needs to be clear and readable, not in some kind of like script font, but something that is easy to read who you are. One of the things I've seen recently, and I actually just got some new business cards, and I made sure to change up my approach with my card to do the kind of this format. But this approach that I've seen some people doing, and it was genius, is instead of that very first line on your card being your name and your credentials, that the very first line at the top of the card is actually about who you help and the problem you help with. And the reason being, if you have ever seen those like business card holders, if you do connect with like a provider or another kind of doctor or therapist or somebody that is going to be an active referral source to you, and maybe they have a place with a bunch of cards that like are, in these kind of business card holders, a lot of times there is like a spot in that holder where a piece of the card sticks above. And if you have your name there, that's great. They see your name. But if what they see first is helping women with anxiety who are navigating the perinatal period, someone's going to see that and go, "Oh my gosh, what is this?" and pick that out. Or if it might say like helping couples who have gone through betrayal trauma, that's going to stick out to somebody. So when you're thinking about the structure of your card, don't put your name and your credentials at the very top. You need to have one simple statement that will clearly talk about who you help and the problem you help with. So if it is working with children who are neurodivergent or supporting couples who are navigating the stressors of the military, whatever that is, and a very clear statement that again, someone should be able to read this card and somebody says, what do they do? Who do they help? And they can say that back to you. Now, obviously, we do want to have some contact information on this card. It doesn't have to be everything. I at times have had an address, at times I've had my fax number and all of this stuff. And the reality is a lot of that you don't need on there. but there are some essentials. You absolutely need to have your website because most likely what somebody is going to do is get that card and they're going to then take it and go want to look you up. They're not going to take that card and just call you. People want to do research. You know, if someone recommends a restaurant to you, usually you're going to go look at Yelp, right? You're going to go look at reviews. You're going to go on Facebook or Instagram and you're going to want to learn more about this restaurant. The same goes for therapy. So you definitely want to have a website. You could even have like a QR code on the back of the card that they, or on the front that they can scan and it takes right to the website. You know, you could have a phone number if that is how you want people to reach out to you directly. I prefer people to email me. So I just have my website and I have my email address on there. You could put a couple other things if you wanted to, you know, depending on the type of po the population you're working in or the space that you're in. If you want to have your pronouns on there, that could be helpful. If you want to have, you know, if you're licensed in multiple states, you know, what your location is or the states you're licensed in. If you are like virtual or in person only, you may have that listed there as well. But I don't think those are absolutely necessary because as long as all of that information is on your website, that is okay. You want to have a card though that is readable. There are all kinds of beautiful cards that you can design. Less is more, not cluttering the card, having white space so that it is readable. It is something that is very easy to understand, right? We're not using that, you know, our clinical like jargon or diagnosis information on there. Like it is very basic. And it is something that the font size is not too small so that somebody could, again, see that statement on the card. They can read it quickly and they can say, I want to pick that up. Don't think about like, okay, let me add on the back like all of my specialties, you know, or like vague phrasing of like supporting healing, like what therapist isn't, right? Or anything that requires an explanation. So really think about like what are the essentials? Again, if someone was to pick up my business card and explain what it was that I do and who I see, what would I want them to say? That should be that kind of brief statement that you have at the top of your card that makes it easy for somebody to know either, hey, that's what I need, or I know somebody who could use this. We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. Now, this is where I see a lot of us tend to end up with a stack of business cards that never gets used because we don't really know how to use them. And I think even when we're talking about like networking with other people who may be a referral source, I don't think a business card alone is going to be enough. And here's what I mean by that. Referral sources need help to identify when to refer to you, but also something to offer their clients or their patients that they're seeing. We want it to be an easy lift for someone to say, hey, this is some information that might be helpful for you. And if you find this helpful, there is somebody that works in this specialty that you could talk to. So here's what I mean by this. I specialize in working in the perinatal period. And so who would be some of like my great ideal referral sources? OB offices, lactation consultants, pelvic floor therapists, right? And so giving them my business card, that could absolutely be enough. But if I created a sheet that has, you know, a list of is it baby blues or perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, or is it exhaustion versus depression, signs and symptoms that they could be looking out for, That is something that they can then use to bring up this referral to their patient, to their client. So thinking about what is going to make that referral source hand out your card more easily. So I've coached some people through this, and this is, like I said, I just recently got some business cards because I'm going to be doing some more local networking, and I plan on making a very brief, like on either on cardstock or just a one page sheet that I can easily print out and then staple my card to, and that there's a stack of these that I'm going to take to these referrals so that they can, if they identify that these are some of the things that their patient is going through, they can provide that list to them, and automatically on there is my information. So thinking about some other areas, if you work with teenagers, having a list of like signs of anxiety and depression in teens, this might be a great resource to connect with therapists or counselors in schools. You may want to connect with, say, like youth pastors or coaches who are also, those kind of community stakeholders in your clients' lives. If you work with elementary schools, it may be like common symptoms of ADHD in kids. This could be something you could give not only to teachers, but also to like pediatricians' offices. So think of something that what would be helpful for that referral source to give to your ideal client? What is something that your referral source would say, oh, wow, yes, this could be really helpful in having this discussion with my patient or with my client about what I see going on? And then there's an easy referral source with it because here's the business card that accompanies it. When you are thinking about designing this asset to go with your business card, we want to make sure that, again, it's not like overly complicated. It should be either a single sheet or a half sheet. It should be scannable, plain language, not using, our therapy jargon, and focusing on not you, but what is the situation or the experience of the potential person, so of the potential client, right? What is it that they may be looking for, or what is it that they may be going through? I've been seeing a physical therapist for my shoulder rehab after my surgery, and they also specialize in doing postpartum work with women, but in pelvic floor therapy. And they had in their office this one page sheet about how new moms or postpartum moms can work on back pain. And they listed off things of like how to lift things a certain way, how to sit, how to think about your posture. And they put it in terms of what you may be going through in your daily life, where to be bending as you're changing a diaper, how to pick up that diaper bag. The way that it was written was one of those things that, as a mom of young children, as a mom who has been through postpartum recently, was easily like, oh my gosh, this is so helpful. I need to read through this and I want to know what this is. And would easily, if I wasn't already going there, have helped me to be like, this is the place to help me. So to think about it in that way, that again, this is should be an easy lift that goes, easily with that referral source and easily with your ideal client. Think of it like this, about how we have our business card and we have our asset. The card says who you are and who you help. The asset is more of when should the person, either the referral source or the ideal client, think of you, right? When they're in this place, when they are struggling with these things, that is when they may want to reach out to help. When you have these combined together, then you have real clarity on, as a referral source, right? That there's somebody going through these struggles and you are the person that can help them. Now, this is the piece that I think so many of us miss when it comes to having a business card, is a relationship. Okay. You can design the most beautiful business card, but you cannot out-design the lack of a relationship when you are giving that business card to somebody. Dropping materials off without a connection feels transactional. Think of it, if somebody was coming up to you and be like, hey, I'm a new therapist in the area and I have a bunch of business cards I'd love to give you. Feel free to refer to me. And that was it, right? You'd be like, thank you. I don't know anything about you. I probably am not going to refer to you because I need to feel comfortable to know who you are before I send somebody your way. The same thing comes from our referral sources. Referrals come from trust, it comes from familiarity, and it comes from feeling remembered and respected, right? So that if you are showing up and you are building that relationship with that referral source and you know what is going on either in their practice or their business or their field, and you're showing a mutual relationship, you are more likely to get a referral from them in the future as well. So building that referral relationship doesn't show mean like showing up to an office one time with a stack of cupcakes and a bunch of business cards and saying, "Hey, wanted to drop these by. Think of me when you have a referral," right? It is showing up consistently, following up after you make that initial contact, asking about what's going on in their work. What are some things that they're seeing that they need? And maybe you're able to provide that. Maybe they would like for you to come do a talk either to their providers or provide a group or something for their clients. What can you do to make their job easier, right? So that they know that their patients, their clients can easily be seen by you. People are not going to refer somebody because you have the best flyer, but they are going to refer somebody to you because they trust you. You are the person that they think of, you are the person that they trust. So a lot of us can feel kind of icky when we think about networking, and I think it comes from that place of we feel weird talking about ourselves and we don't want to feel pushy or like we're marketing ourselves. But if we don't do this, we're not going to get referrals. So we need to think about this instead of I'm just like going and talking about myself. Really about building a relationship with somebody. We are looking for that mutual support. How can we support them? How can they support us? And then how do we create long-term visibility, right? That it's not just that very transactional thing of here's my card, call me when you need me, but there is a longer-term relationship that is mutual and that there's reciprocity there. So after you have that kind of initial outreach, whether it is you meet for coffee, you meet for a business lunch, you have a Zoom coffee chat, schedule some kind of follow-up meeting after that. A quick email or a text saying, "Hey, I really enjoyed talking with you. Thank you so much for meeting." And then following up, maybe a month later to just see how things are going with their practice or with their business. Are there any clients that I could help you with? And then continuing to reconnect after time has passed. Finding ways that you can offer value to that referral source without just simply asking for referrals. So, would I be able to, drop off some materials? I made a new handout that I think, your clients might find helpful, as they're navigating this specific issue. I want to normalize, though, that building these relationships, building a networking group or a referral source, it takes time. It can feel so frustrating when you're like, I had this great meeting, and they're like, oh, yes, I definitely have referrals that I can send to you. Doesn't mean that you're going to have an email inbox filled with all these referrals right away and people knocking on your door. It's going to take some time. It's going to feel awkward, but where you will see growth and where you will see the referrals come from is consistency. The consistency is going to win out over the person that just has confidence walking in and comes and sees that referral source one time. So, thinking about that, I want to just again acknowledge that it can feel hard to put ourselves out there. So, if you haven't already downloaded or checked out the networking scripts guide, the comprehensive connecting guide, I really want to encourage you to go grab that. The link to it is in the show notes. This guide is going to help you to think through who are those people that, we break it down as other providers that might be seeing your referrals or would have be a referral source, other doctors or medical providers, and then community stakeholders. And so it's going to help like you to identify who are those people in your field or in your realm. And then it's going to give you what I call like a plug and play script of how do you create that initial reach out? What do you do to start that conversation around, hey, I would like to get to know what you're doing and share a little bit about the work that I'm doing. This is something that we break it down into each of these different types of referral sources because the way you're going to reach out to a community stakeholder is not the same way you're going to reach out to, say, a doctor's office. And it's designed, to be very relatable. It's not salesy. So if you have not already downloaded that, I really encourage you to go get that guide. and then get your business cards, design that asset, and really look at how can you use those two things together along with these scripts to start opening the door and having these conversations to begin building those referral sources. I want to just remind you that as we think about marketing and as we think about a business card or the asset, the tools are there. These are tools to support the relationships. They're not going to replace the relationship of a referral source, right? You need to be looking at how can I make sure that I am connecting with these people that are going to be sending me clients my way. And so if you already have a business card, I want you to like go look at it and think about the things that we talked about of is it of a friendly design? Is it one that is going to be very clear about who you help and what you do? And then I want you to think about one referral specific asset. Again, thinking of your ideal client, what is something that a referral source may be, looking to say, hey, this sounds like some of the things you're going through. Take a look at this list or take a look at this information. And that is a way to open up the conversation with that potential client for them to consider reaching out to you. And then just it can feel daunting sometimes, or it can feel like, okay, I've got to go do all of this all at once. Focus on building one relationship at a time. It may be that all you have time for this month is to reach out to one person. That's okay. That's one more referral source than you had last month. So, thinking about that, using the scripts and using your current cards or new cards and creating that asset, I want you to kind of set a goal of who is going to be the next person or the next office that you're going to reach out to begin starting to build and foster this relationship. As always, if you have further questions about this, you can find me on Instagram. You can head to raisedempower.com and reach out to me there. And I hope that this has been helpful for you. And we will be continuing over the next couple months, talking more and more detail about building these networking relationships, hopefully even having some opportunities for us to kind of gather together to do some, online networking with one another. So continue to tune in, and I hope you have a great rest of your week, and I'll see you back here next week. Thanks for listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to share it with another therapist mom who needs it. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And if you'd leave a 5-star review, it helps more therapist moms find this space. For resources and ways to work with me, head to raisedtoempower.com and check the show notes for all links mentioned today. I'll see you back here next week.